unknown monarch, which was beginning to dissolve. Now he was bored and also angry. He raked his claws across the place where the fool's ears should have been, and was rewarded with nothing more than a metallic scraping noise. "Who's a good boy, then?" said the fool.
"Wazza wazza whoosh."
This intrigued Gribo. The only other person who had ever spoken to him like this was Nanny Ogg. Everyone else addressed him as,
"Yeah, get out of it, you bastard."
He leaned down very carefully, intrigued by the new experience. From the fool's point of view, an upside-down cat face lowered itself slowly into his field of vision, wearing an expression of evil-eyed interest.
"Does it want to come home, then?"
said the fool hopefully. "Look, Mr. Door is open." Gribo increased his grip. He had found a friend. The fool shrugged, very carefully, turned and walked back into the passage. He made his way down through the hall, out into the courtyard, around the side of the guardroom, and out through the main gate, nodding, carefully, to the guards.
"Man just went past with a cat on his head,"
one of them remarked after a minute or two's reflection.
"See who it was? The fool, I think."
There was a thoughtful pause. The second guard shifted his grip on his habard.
"It's a rotten job," he said, "but I suppose someone's got to do it." "We ain't going to curse anyone," said Granny firmly. "It hardly ever works if they don't know you've done it. What you do is, you send him a doll of himself with pins in. No, Gaither. All you have to do is get hold of some of his toenails,"
Nanny persisted enthusiastically.
"No. Or some of his hair or anything. I've got some pins. No.
Cursing people is morally unsound and extremely bad for your karma," said McGrath.
"Well, I'm going to curse him anyway," said Nanny. "Under my breath, like. I could have caught my death in that dungeon for all he cared." "We ain't going to curse him," said Granny. "We're going to replace him. What did you do with the old king?"
"I left the rock on the kitchen table," said Nanny. "I couldn't stand it any more."
"I don't see why," said McGrath. "He seemed very pleasant for a ghost."
"Oh, he was all right. It was the others," said Nanny.
"Others? Pray, carry a stone out of the palace so's I can haunt it, good mother, he says
Nanny Ogg. "It's bloody boring in here, Mistress Ogg, excuse my clatchian," he says. "So, of course, I did. I reckon they were all listening. Oh, yes, they all thinks, all aboard, time for a bit of a holiday. I've nothing against ghosts, especially royal ghosts," she added loyally, "but my cottage isn't the place for them. I mean, there's some woman in a chariot yelling her head off in the washroom, I ask you, and there's a couple of little kiddies in the pantry, and men without heads all over the place, and someone screaming under the sink, and there's this little hairy man wandering around lost and everything. It's not right." "Just so long as he's not here," said Granny. "We don't want any men around."
"He's a ghost, not a man," said McGrath.
"We don't have to go into details," Granny said icily.
"But you can't put the old king back on the throne," said McGrath. "Ghosts can't rule. You'd never get the grand estate on. It'd drop through."
"We're going to replace him with his son," said Granny. "Proper succession." "Oh, we've been through all that," said Nanny dismissively. "In about 15 years' time, perhaps, but..." "Tonight," said Granny. "A child on the throne? He wouldn't last 5 minutes." "Not a child," said Granny quietly. "A grown man. Remember Alice Demurrage?"
There was silence. Then Nanny Ogg sat back.
"Bloody hell," she whispered. "You ain't gonna try that, are you?" "I mean to have a go,"